The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch. Up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
Let's open up that rave line. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is going to do the same thing again year after year. Oh, no.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Troy Radio, episode 409, coming to you on Wednesday, July 21st. We're going to talk about the latest in USC football talk, which there is a ton of to catch up here on this episode. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rant of Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rant of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Google Play, Omni, wherever you can find a podcast, we are there. Our bonus episodes are on Patreon, patreon.com/Rant of Troy. Our email address is rantoftroy@fansite.com, and our phone number is 213-373-1USC.
Suck it, what's Broom Show.
I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joined along with my co-host, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, we are back. Back in the saddle, potentially. That's if this recording goes through.
Back for, like, the fourth or fifth time attempting?
Something like that.
So we're just going to cross our fingers. So far, so good. I mean, we had gotten this far on another episode recording a week ago and then a few other weeks before that.
We were like 15 minutes into a record.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks back. And then we had made a pause because we were at the end of a segment. We went back to go listen to it. And it was not good. So we have switched computers. Like, we've switched out the stuffs.
It was like that. Did I do that bad?
You're making me nervous.
I'm sorry.
Like it's a little too close.
It was a little bit too real. Yeah. That's a horrible feeling, by the way, if you're recording and then all of a sudden you listen back and you're like, that's unusable.
Yeah.
So.
Not good.
But it's been a wild several weeks since we've recorded.
Several weeks. We can use the term months.
Yeah.
It's been insane these last couple months. There's literally multiple threads on the P about what happened to us and all this kind of stuff.
I was telling my mom, like, the one good thing, like, we've had a nightmare of a time. But the one good thing is that, like, we've had people, like, hit us up and go, like, hey, are y'all okay? And it's like, well, okay, that feels good at least that, like, people care that we are or are not present and doing stuff. So that's good. But yeah, it's just we had life get in the way. We've been in the middle of setting up a move. I had a retinal tear that basically took a week of everything away. Just figuring out my work schedule was hard for a while there. We went on a vacation for 10 days. It's just, yeah. And then in between all of that, we tried to record like three different times and we now have a narrower window in which we can record. And every time we had massive technical difficulties and it was just like, well, I guess we're going to record next week.
Yeah, we think we have found the solution. So if this episode goes up, That is the signal that we have.
Famous last words, but yes.
Yes. We will see how that goes all together. Also, this time has been a great time for me to learn that I'm a massive hypocrite.
Yes.
I'm a podcast addict. I love listening to the podcasts that I listen to. I'm addicted to them. I know what days they're supposed to go up. And I'm the guy who gets agitated when I know that a Wednesday podcast isn't posted at Wednesday at midnight and I'm up late playing MLB The Show and I'm like, well, it's Wednesday at midnight. Like, I know that this podcast is going to be recorded. It's not up. I need to listen to this thing. And yet then I stop
and
think.
Turn around and do the same thing to our lovely listeners.
I know. I'm a terrible person. Terrible.
Well, you're not that bad.
Mostly bad. Very bad.
You could be worse.
I don't know. So the point is, we're back. Football season is back starting next week with Pac-12 Media Days. Media Day. Back down to one day. Over in Hollywood, we'll be there for that. That'll be super fun to sort of get back in the mix of everything. We'll be talking about USC's representation over there. I haven't seen, they haven't put out a list of the players that we would expect there.
Should we make guesses?
Who are we thinking? Keaton
and Drake Jackson.
I could see it.
Could actually, Isaiah Pulamau is probably the one who will go from the defense.
I could see it.
But it's got to be Keaton on offense. Who else could it be?
No, well, but it's not necessarily offense and defense now. Remember, it's just two players?
But also they have a quarterback who's a junior, who's going to be a junior.
Yeah, but is it a possibility that it's like Keaton and Bye-bye?
I mean, maybe, yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Keaton and
maybe it's
Drake
like Keaton,
London?
Keaton and Keonta Ingram. Keaton and
Katie Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. My guess, I like
Keaton and Parker Lewis.
I think Keaton and Damon Johnson. I think that the best way to do it is to have a representative from offense and a representative from defense, if those make sense. So for me, it's obvious that they should do Keaton and Drake Jackson. I think Keaton and Isaiah Pulamau also make a lot of sense. Otherwise, I have no guesses.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that next week down in Hollywood. Super excited for that and ready to get the football season underway after that. As we get into August, when camp opens, and in September, football season is back. Back with 100% capacity of the Coliseum.
Yeah, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's like back to normal-ish,
yes.
I guess. I mean, the mask mandate's back, but back to normal-ish.
Well, with any luck, by the time football season rolls around, the mask mandate will be pulled back again. And then we'll be full go and able to enjoy a football season as is.
Hopefully. Well, there's a bunch of us, bunch of topics for us to get into. Let's do that. We'll start with things like name, image, and likeness, because Alicia, while we were gone, the rules have changed.
The college football landscape blew up. Yes.
All different. Completely different. This is not the same sport that we
left
2.5 months ago.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they shaved down the rule book, but hopefully in a way that doesn't hurt the boys, which is what you guys at home hopefully are doing with Manscaped, because this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, the maker of the Lawnmower 4.0. This baby's got power.
Yeah, it's got a 7,000 RPM motor, which sounds very intense.
Hell yeah.
A multifunction on-off switch and a travel lock. So when you take it with you, it's not going to cause problems when you're at the airport and stuff.
Got to be safe.
You do. It's got a 4,000K LED spotlight that you can turn on or off. I don't know what 4,000K means, but it seems bright. That sounds useful.
It's bright light, yeah. White light, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get the Performance Package 4.0, then you get the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, which will help you trim the weeds up in your ears and around your nose and all of those places. You get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, and two free gifts. You get a boxer briefs and a travel bag.
You guys, the Rotbots, can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
I mean, if you're going to be watching the Olympics, you're going to see a lot of swimmers who have definitely used Manscaped products to make sure that they are sleek and smooth and hydrodynamic.
Sure, I'll go with
it. I think that's the word. It's not aerodynamic.
Either way.
Which we're not supposed to talk about F1, but you can make yourself aerodynamic, just like F1 cars,
right,
with Manscaped.
Yeah, and you can make sure that everything looks good, which allows us to transition from this Bush to Reggie Bush in the news. All right, Alicia, let's get into the news here. We have to start with nil. And no, this doesn't mean zero in footy. I mean,
nil,
it does,
nil.
But
I mean, yes.
This is not the same kind
this
of nil.
This is cap, all caps, N-I-L.
Yeah, and no cap. N-I-L, name, image, and likeness. This comes from CBS Sports on July 1st. Quote, the NCAA Division I Board of Governors on Wednesday approved an interim policy that allows college athletes to monetize their name, images, and likenesses for the first time. A source tells CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, this bridge waiver comes just one day before the NIL floodgates open in about a dozen states on July 1st. Since then, a ton of things have happened. I think we've seen several players strike up deals with different companies and whatnot.
According to Nick Saban, Bryce Young has already penned deals that are going to make him close to $1 million. We've seen Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, who
he's got like an NFT, right?
He's got an NFT, and I think it's going to be a six-figure deal of some variety with Phil Knight doing NFTs and memorabilia and stuff like that. It's all over the place. We've got guys, you know, doing fireworks stores, and Graham Mertz is selling, you know, T-shirts and all sorts of other stuff. So the landscape of college football has absolutely changed completely. Good on the players finally able to make money the way that all other students are able to make money. But the interesting thing is that, I mean, this is now we're 3 weeks since these floodgates opened. We really haven't heard of any deals for USC guys.
Yeah, I'm
that's not to say they don't exist.
To see what happens with that. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is going to be going forward. Are we always going to hear about these things? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, the only reason we heard about Bryce Young's stuff is because
Nick Saban talked
about it. And so,
right. Like,
Nick Saban is smart, I think, to talk about it, because a quarterback who hasn't really started for that team yet is making $1 million.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, the other thing is, I think that needs to be stressed here, there is minimal pushback to this. I think the landscape of college football has changed in terms of how we look at it. Not many players in the country are going to be able to pull in the money that Kayvon Thibodeau or Bryce Young have pulled in.
No.
Like, extremely few players can do that.
There's only
one. If you're the quarterback in Alabama, that can happen.
Yeah, there's only one quarterback at Alabama.
Right.
One starting quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, but I was thinking because so the Reggie Bush stuff has also blown up in the wake of this. Well, let's discuss those takes. But I'm just going to point this out. Reggie Bush has like publicly asked for his Heisman to be restored in light of the NIL stuff going through. And there's a whole back and forth about the Heisman Trust saying like it's up to the NCAA, which is cowardice and bullcrap, by the way. But on the Heisman Trust part. But I was sitting here thinking like, okay, so we don't know what Keaton is making or will make or what he could, but like he's a USC quarterback who's in the discussion among the best quarterbacks in the country. He's like made for TV. I mean, he's made for it just image wise. Like he's a good looking dude. He's gonna attract endorsement deals, you would imagine. But like imagine what Matt Leinart could have made. Imagine what Reggie Bush could have made.
Do you remember when Matt Leinart got suspended by the NCAA for saying SportsCenter is next?
Yeah, yeah, like that kind of crap. Like they would have made bank. Reggie would have made exponentially more than his family took in rent and dishwashing and washing machines and airfare or whatever else. Like if Bryce Young is making $1 million, like Reggie Bush would have made bank. So I'm not trying to retroactively apply those kind of rules. I was just thinking, like, I don't know what the landscape on the West Coast is for this kind of thing, but the USC quarterback at least should be making good money. And we have yet to find out any sort of understanding of that from a USC perspective, which to me is interesting 3 weeks on. But
right. Especially when SC has been so proactive with the Boulevard stuff and
USC basketball players have all their own logos and all this kind of stuff. So this stuff is going to come down the line. It's just weird the trickle of information that hasn't come out from the USC perspective. Because like I said, I think Nick Saban is smart to make it known what Bryce Young is making. And USC would be smart to make it known that their guys are getting some stuff. So,
100%.
But you had thoughts on Reggie Bush, so hit up.
Yeah.
I think you and I probably agree on this too.
I understand. The rules have changed. So exonerate everybody. I get the logic in that. I don't think that's how life actually works. And Reggie Bush, by the way, is already, a free man in terms of the NCAA with his
disassociation being gone.
That has been over with for over a year now. So SC can already associate with him. It's just the Heisman Trophy. And I know it's just the Heisman Trophy that means a lot to people and all that stuff. Did you forget that he won the thing? I don't think anyone is forgetting that he won the thing.
I don't know.
But more to this, I think my biggest annoyance is with the idea that if these things don't happen, that it will be like this reckless decision and all this kind of thing. I agree. Reggie Bush should have his Heisman. I want him to have his Heisman. At the end of the day, like, if he doesn't get it back, is it like this unconscionable thing? I don't think it is. And then, like, we get tweets all the time. Like, people are tagging us in tweets about, like, here's one. This comes from Mark on Twitter. Mark Emmert should personally hand the Heisman Trophy to Reggie Bush and apologize for everything the NCAA put his family through. Here's the thing. The NCAA has nothing to do with the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. Well, the the Heisman has made...
So if the Heisman Trust is pushing it back on the NCAA,
now it's
the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. That's the Heisman Trust.
That's the Heisman Trust being cowards.
Yes.
Because the NCAA isn't going to reinstate.
You can't point fingers the other way.
Because it's not their job to reinstate.
No.
And the NCAA actually doesn't have any incentive to reinstate Reggie Bush's records or anything like that. Like, the reason I say the Heisman Trust are cowards is because, A, they shouldn't have taken that trophy away from him in the first place. There are a lot. If they want to, like, trump up the character of the Heisman alumni, like, those dudes all took money. Those dudes all took money, and some of them got caught doing it. Johnny
right.
Manziel has admitted he took money.
Right.
So, like, you can't tell me that, like, it's the integrity of the award. No, you shouldn't have taken his award away in the first place. But the NIL rules changing doesn't have any bearing on that for me. My whole perspective is they shouldn't have taken it away in the first place. They should admit they were wrong and give it back. They're being cowards by saying the NCAA needs to make that decision, essentially.
Sure. Yeah.
But, like, the NIL rules don't change anything. Like, the SMU doesn't get to go back and change their death penalty.
Right.
And just because, like, a rule changes, like, if college football changes the rule to go to NFL, God forbid, NFL rules where you have to have 2 feet in bounds, that doesn't mean that all of those one-footed catches that won games in past games, like, suddenly, like, those don't count anymore. Like, that's not the way rule changes
work. Sorry, guys. Michael Crabtree, no longer a hero.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You
like, I just don't think this. I don't think this
that it
is
was
the
one
thing.
Foot down, but you know.
Oh, I have no idea. But this isn't the thing that decides that for me.
Right. Well, not to mention that with all of the rules that were in place before, yes, Reggie got to play in those games before he was dealt his penalty. But think about the players who were deemed ineligible before
they got to play.
They got to play. Like, yeah. That affected the rule books, right? That they were deemed ineligible and all that kind of stuff. So I don't, there's no fair way to go about it.
No, because the, it was the rules were the
rules
place.
When they were the rules. Yeah. Like, I get that it sucks that the SC Media Guide has to have a million asterisks on everything.
Which
that
is
says,
my biggest annoyance. Yeah, like, it's more just that. Like,
I'm with
dumb.
You. Like, I think we all saw those games count. Yeah. The stats were accumulated. Who cares? But, like, I understand why they might not get reinstated. Like, it's not the end of the world.
This doesn't change that. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It's not the end of the world for me. But the good news is Reggie Bush is back for SC. He's been back for over a year.
And he's almost certainly going to have an opportunity to lead the team out of the tunnel this season.
Guaranteed. We've talked about this before, but just to reiterate, do you got an opinion on what game to do that with?
Oh, you got to go. Oh, I say UCLA. Is UCLA at home this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I say UCLA.
I have this weird thing. When I think of last year, I think of 2019.
Do you do the same thing? I don't. Last year didn't happen, Michael.
I know.
Let's just scrub it from our brain. It's fine.
It's wild. Wild to me. But yeah, I think.
I think you could do Notre Dame for snark, but I think his performances against UCLA were generally better.
Notre Dame would be on the road.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure the Irish would let him lead the team.
I think you could get away with doing it the first week. It is not.
I just want it for a big game.
San Jose State is not a game that's going to impress people.
No, I want.
But you can do it for that week. You can drum just from a marketing perspective.
If you say he's going to, you're going to honor him that week. Then people
it's
will get into this.
It's the first game post COVID, so you're going to get a attendance bump.
Reggie
on
Bush
that
bobblehead.
Reason. You say that it's a Reggie Bush bobblehead.
Yeah.
And you go out there and you have him lead the team out. Good chance of getting maybe a sellout.
But
maybe?
You have to advertise that ahead of time.
Oh,
you can't
for sure.
just have him turn up for San Jose and like, well, there's 30,000 people in the stands and they're all hot and tired and it's like, oh, I guess Reggie's here. No, I want it for UCLA.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Moving on, let's go to a laundry list of things that have happened this off season. We've put together all of the players that USC have had coming in and coming out. It's been a long list. Players before we went on our little hiatus and after. So in summary, there are 10 transfers out, 9 transfers in, and 9 commits for the class of 2022. These are the 10 transfers out if you've been under a rock or not podcasting for the last 2.5 months like us. Marquis Stepp, he's off to Nebraska. Connor Murphy, off to UNLV. Paulie Niotayote, most likely Ohio State?
Seems that way, but I don't think it's official yet.
Okay. All right.
Which is weird.
Abdullah Malik McLean is at Jackson State. Chase McGrath at Tennessee. Muneer McLean at Utah. Caleb Tremblay at Tennessee. Trevor Trout, a medical retirement?
Yep.
That's a bummer.
Which, I mean, we kind of knew in 2020, but it wasn't like official or anything like that. So he's just not on the roster anymore.
Yeah. He got to SC, I think, with some good fanfare and
just couldn't stay healthy. Yeah.
Never was healthy at all. Stephen Carr is off to Indiana along with Dalen McCullough. And Jay Toya has moved over to UCLA. He's taking a jaunt down the den.
Yeah, that one's weird.
A little bit.
He looked good in spring camp. He looked like he was going to get a lot of playing time, if not a starting job at USC. And then sort of out of the blue, he announces he's transferring. And then he ends up across town. So, huh.
Huh. 9 transfers are in, though. Xavier Alford from Texas, Ismail Sopcich from Alabama, Katie Nixon from Colorado, Keontae Ingram from Texas, Taj Washington from Memphis, Malcolm Epps from Texas, Chris Thompson Jr. from Auburn, Darwin Barlow, a running back out of TCU, And Jake Smith, a wide receiver from Texas. And Alicia, just looking at this list, a lot of Texas guys, both literally, talking about Alford, Ingram, Epps, and Smith, all former Longhorns, but also a lot of dudes that are just from the state of Texas, like Katie Nixon.
Yeah, and I think Chris Thompson might originally be from Texas.
Was Todd Washington maybe? I can't.
Yeah,
I can't,
maybe.
We should probably look these things up before we talk about it.
Well, Barlow from TCU is also at least state of Texas in college. So, yeah, but USC has a Texas coaching staff, right? Like, at least defensively. It's funny that they're getting all these wide receivers, though. I think that you can find a lot of really good talent from that state because there is a lot of talent and not enough schools always, and guys go to different programs and don't fit for whatever reason or are looking for a fresh start, and now they know, you know, Alford and Keontae Ingram have settled in, and so then they're able to recruit their buddies, so then you end up with Jake Smith, and you know, this is exactly what happened with Illinois and grabbing all those USC guys, so it sort of goes both ways after a while, but the transfers in, they all seem good. Now, the problem with the transfer portal is that, like, the guys who leave, you know. So you're like, meh, okay, USC's gonna, whatever, these guys weren't gonna, I mean, it hurts to lose Marquis Stepp, but you sort of understand. It hurts to lose the McLeans, but you also understand. And you sort of get the deal, like, Caleb Tremblay was a good player, but we're not going to like cry over him leaving. Connor Murphy, we're not going to cry over him leaving. He's just got to go and get his chance to shine somewhere else. But then you bring guys in and you're like, oh, these guys are super exciting. But like, are they just the same caliber of player that USC is sort of having walk out the door too? Like, it's just hard to gauge. Someone like Taj Washington from Memphis, it feels like he can take a step up, but he was playing really well at Memphis. The guys at Texas, you know, Keontae Ingram obviously looked good, but the rest of them, you know, Shropshire hasn't played a game. So him coming from Alabama, it's still an unknown. It's almost like you're getting just a bunch of recruits that are from JUCOs, essentially, where you're like hoping they can translate.
Yeah. Or with Taj Washington, kind of a JUCO on steroids, which is what a G5 is, really, right?
Like, yeah.
Like someone who potentially could have been under-recruited and was really good last year with Memphis, if he's able to really prove that he was under-recruited, he can be a diamond in the rough guy, and that would be a good haul for USC. I think more than anything, I think my takeaway here is that I losing those 10 guys hurts. When you talk about the names like Marquis Stepp and Stephen Carr, you know those guys. Your mom knows those guys, you know what I mean? Like, those are big names. At the same point, SC is able to bring in Keontae Ingram. They build some wide receiver depth with Nixon, Washington, and Jake Smith. I think they've replaced the guys that they've lost adequately, if nothing else than it being tit for tat. And there is no net loss there. But they've also, I think, built out the depth in areas that they needed to do that, like at wide receiver, where you've lost Muneer McLean, you've lost guys to the NFL, like Amon Ross St. Brown, Tyler Vaughns. Those guys have moved on. Kyle Ford is coming off of an injury. You never know exactly how that's going to pan out. Drake London is going to probably leave to the NFL after this upcoming season. So getting guys with term or eligibility, I guess, left like Taj Washington is a great kind of thing to bring in.
Yeah, I agree. The one area that I think you haven't replaced well enough yet, and maybe it's just too soon, is the defensive tackles. Because you lose Trevor Trout to a medical retirement, nothing you can do there. You lose Jay Toya to a real weird situation. Not sure what you can do there, but you're light on DTs. So
can I push back on this one?
Okay.
Because you talk about, you lose Tremblay, Toya, and Murphy on the defensive
well,
line.
Well, Tremblay and Murphy are our DEs. Like, they're not still, the...
Sure, but I'm just talking about on the line in general.
Yeah.
What production were you getting out of those guys?
Oh yeah, no, those guys. I'm saying that if on the ins coming in, Ishmael Shropshire is a big get as a 330 guy,
right. for defensive Toya, tackle. You get Shropshire.
Right, but you lost Toya. You lost Brandon Peely to injury. Toya matters. Like, you've now traded 2 for 1. You're still low one. Plus, you've lost Marlon Tupelo to and Jay Tufele to the NFL. So, like, if you're looking at, like, the 300-pounders that USC has on the defensive line, you're short. You're short on those. Now, you do have Jamar Sakona. You do have Dejon Benton. You have Kobe Pepe.
I think you've got guys on the rosters that haven't gotten that opportunity yet.
Right, but if you're going to do the front the way that USC apparently wants to do it, you're not having those three guys compete for one spot. You have like three guys competing for two spots, and that's a concern. Now it's going to be four guys competing for two spots, but it's just that the defensive line is somewhere you want to be able to rotate, and I don't know that USC has a ton of rotation available to them in those interior spots, and there's nothing they could have done about that necessarily given the outs, but I would have liked to see another in terms of a big body in the defensive line.
Well, you'd like to just not lose Jay Toya for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but yes, that's yes.
I think when you talk about it too, what was the position group that SC was at their best at last year?
Well, the defensive line. Well, exactly. The wide receivers.
We've talked about.
That, oh, I have faith in Vic Saoto.
Yes,
and like that I have faith in Vic Saoto to work it out.
The Dylan McCullough of the defense, yeah. In which. You can be completely bought in, trust everything that's going on, even to a naive level, and just say that things are going to be solved because of how well they were last year when there were literally no expectations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but there's Marlon Tupelo, too.
Yeah, but there's a Thule, and Thule was better than Marlon. And I know that they don't play the exact same position at that point. Yeah.
No,
but
I'm not saying you're in crisis mode, for the record. The defensive line isn't in crisis mode. The defensive line is the interior defensive line is just thinner than I think you would be comfortable with, knowing the injury issues that often hit those positions.
Yeah. So I think that you can always have more depth there.
Yeah.
I think for me in general, I think where SC lost some guys, I think there were redundancies like Chase McGrath at the kicker spot.
Yes, yeah.
It's a bummer to lose Chase McGrath, but you do have Parker Lewis. So
you gave a scholarship to dudes, so right. Like, you know, you got to live with this.
It happens, right? But yeah. Moving forward, talking about guys on the defensive line, well, Barry Leed.
Yeah.
Things are looking good for 2022. USC's current class as it stands, star-studded at the top for sure, especially in the defensive backfield with 5-star CB. Damani Jackson out of Modern Day. There's also Jaden Gold, Fabian Ross, 4 stars at cornerback. But there's also this 5-star defensive lineman out of the Deep South, Michael Williams.
That's a big get. That's the kind of recruiting get that Vic Saoto hasn't had yet with USC. And obviously you got to close that one out, pulling a kid out of Georgia, and you have his commitment in July. That doesn't mean that you have his signature. So, like, they got to finish that one out. But that's a huge get for USC, one that could open other doors for them recruiting in the South. But Vic Saoto, the one thing that he needed to pick up the pace on was get your dudes. And if, you know, that's a hell of a pickup for USC. So, yeah, the recruiting front, I don't really worry about USC on the recruiting front at this point. I think the staff is good. They have a good recruiting staff right now. I mean, Dante Williams is just out here picking up every 5-star corner that's out there.
Is he the best recruiter since Kojo?
Yes, but like, the only thing I have to say about Dante Williams is that like maybe he should be recruiting other positions because like I don't know where USC is going to fit all of these. I guess it works out because USC likes versatility. They use cornerbacks, nickelbacks, safeties, all sort of semi-interchangeably at time. Not interchangeably, but you know, they'll move guys around. Yeah, they need DBs. So I'm like, I'm not complaining. It's just like his ability to pull in DBs, like it's almost like if you could just have a team full of DBs, you'd have a really great team if Dante Williams was recruiting them. But
yeah, and not to mention that yes, USC's running the 3-3-5 without Orlando, but beyond that, the nickel defense is the standard defense college football right now. That's what base is. So even if you want to say, well, this is the last year with Todd Orlando, maybe it is. Whoever comes in is going to inherit a defense that is ready to play nickel.
Also, next to wide receiver, cornerback is the unit that I most expect to see somebody leave after their junior year. At recruiting at this level, you expect to see these guys. You need to cycle through in a 3-year cycle. You can't plan for a 4-year cycle. So yeah, I think the recruiting is good. And you know, the quarterback that they brought in, Devin Brown, was a 3-star when he committed. He's now a 4-star, tearing up the camp circuit. So like, I don't think you can complain about recruiting at this stage. It seems like they've got it covered.
Yeah, and then there's tight end Kean Burnett, wide receiver Kevin Green, linebacker Ty Khanna, and a running back named DeAnthony. Why did I say that?
DeAnthony.
DeAnthony.
DeAnthony Gatson.
DeAnthony Gatson. Who's, finally, USC getting a DeAnthony running back. Jeez.
Who's kind of one of those, like, you know, like a sort of undersized but sort of slick kind of guy. So not exactly DeAnthony Thomas, but still. Well, intriguing.
We'll see if he signs. Yeah. You know how to.
I just don't think. I know that everyone obsesses about recruiting.
That's unfair.
Whatever. Everyone obsesses about recruiting. In July, as of July, I don't think you need to worry. The only hiccup involved in this recruiting class at this stage right now is whether or not this coaching staff will be in place when they are ready to sign. But that's a bridge that we're going to cross way down the line.
Yeah. Way down the line, indeed. I'll take a quick break and keep talking about more about USC. All right, Alicia, we're about six, seven weeks until college football begins for the Trojans. First week is September at home against the San Jose State Spartans. First time SC playing the Spartans since 2009. The infamous
infamous, extremely hot game where the only shade you could receive was the Goodyear blimp overhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the final score?
50... No, I don't know. No, I do not.
I believe it was 56-3 in Matt Barkley's first game.
I was going to say 13, so I was thinking 56-13 or something like that, but yeah.
56-3. Yeah. I'm 99% sure that's what the score was. I don't think it's going to be that this year. Not because SC couldn't score 56. Let's be real. SC is a high octane offense that ends up not scoring 50 points.
We're going to go to media day, and if I hear Clay Helton say that they can score 50 points, I'm just going to roll my eyes and go like, okay, show me something there. Like,
SC has the most potent offense
that doesn't score.
That doesn't. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
But we'll see what happens with SC and San Jose State. Obviously, San Jose State, the Mountain West champs last year, were really damn good. It was the COVID season. Whether or not that affects anything, who knows? But they were good in the season that they had to be good in, and they were.
They're definitely better than they were coming into 2009.
Yes.
So,
for sure. Going into the season, as it stands right now, where's your head at?
I have fully embraced the... it doesn't matter mantra. I don't know it doesn't matter. The season will play out the way that it will play out, and I don't need to expect anything from it. Like, this might change when we get into August, because you know me, we go through this off season cycle where like you start out the offseason going like it's going to be terrible, and then you get to see spring camp and you're like, oh, maybe it'll be good, and then you look at the roster and you're like, oh, USC has a lot of good players, and then you sort of like, Keaton's good, Drake London's really good, like maybe this could be really good, and then you get into August and you're like, they can win 10 games, Michael, and then we have that whole prediction episode where it's like, well, I mean, they should win that game, and they should win that game, and they should win that game. And then all of a sudden, I'm picking USC to go 11-1, and I feel like an idiot. I don't feel like I've had that process this year. I am very firmly in the trench that the offensive line will be bad, and that means that USC will go 8-4 or 9-3.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with, like, 8-4 is like my middle ground. Like, I think 8-4 seems like that's how it's all going to play out, just because I don't trust this team at all. And the good players will make sure that they win the 8 games, but there's not enough good players and good coaches and good systems to say that they won't lose those 4 games. So, like, I'm in a weird, I don't think I've ever been like this before.
I think this team just reeks of 9-3. A 9-3 that,
like,
I
mediumness.
Think that is going to be frustrating in the sense that I think they're a 9-2 that absolutely, I mean, 9-3 that absolutely could threat to be 10-2 and 11-1 on their A game when they play that A game. How often that will be, that's a big question. I think there's definitely some holes. We've talked about the offensive line before. A massive question mark. Clay McGuire, the new offensive line coach, is a question mark. Though we've talked about it earlier in the offseason. He was the guy you should have got at the beginning. Anyways, if you're going to go with the air raid, go with an air raid offensive line coach so you can have some sort of process for how it's supposed to work.
So that by now you will have had some consistency and been already in this. But now you're throwing him in with a 1 year, like, well, what could he possibly do? If the offensive line is bad this year, it's not necessarily because Clay McGuire is bad. It's because
it
was always
going to
be bad.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to make it impossible to judge him because, and either way, I don't know what happens. Like, if the offensive line is terrible, it could be because of Clay McGuire. It very well could not be because what is he supposed to do this late on into a regime? I don't know. I don't know. It's a very difficult situation for SC to be in. So it comes down to the same thing we've said forever. If SC can protect Keaton Slovis, if Keaton Slovis can look like he did in his freshman season, this team can absolutely win the conference, get to the Rose Bowl, and be a damn good football team. There's a lot of ifs there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bank on all those ifs happening.
Yeah, and see, I think that's my problem is I'm very confident that the offensive line will be worse this year than it was last year, and it was not great last year, but they don't have Elijah Vera Tucker to bail them out this time. On defense, I like the defensive staff. I feel more confident in them than past, but I have to remind myself occasionally that Talanoa Hufanga is no longer on the field for USC. And an issue.
I think I like every position group, maybe potentially every spot on the field with the exception of not having Hufanga there.
Well, and it's like part of it is I haven't seen Xavien Alford. I haven't seen Chris Thompson potentially.
Right.
Isaiah Pulumau could take that step forward. You would hope he takes. I feel pretty decent about the corners. I think they can survive without Elijah Griffin. The linebackers should continue to be better than they've been in the past 2 years because the past 2 years have not been good. But even if you replace at safety, you still don't have Hufanga. And Hufanga was that level of player for you. So somebody else is going to have to be that level of player. If it's Drake Jackson, that'll be a huge deal because he wasn't that for USC last year. He was good, but he wasn't like Talanoa Hufanga.
Hufanga also makes it difficult because he was a safety making all the tackles.
Yeah.
And on the surface, safety making all the tackles is a bad thing.
Yeah.
However, he was a very active safety who was going to play up along the line. So I don't know that we can just write it off as, well, your safety made all the tackles, so the defense must be bad. Yeah. I don't think it was that cut and dry, but either way, he's someone who made USC considerably better. He's not there. IPM's going to have to step up and have that similar kind of role, even if playing a different type of safety role. So it's going to be difficult. Last question before we get to a mailbag here. Who do you have more confidence in being better than last season, the offensive line or Keaton Slovis?
Oh, well, those are connected questions, Michael.
They are. But if you have to pick one, you have to bet on one to be improved from last season.
Keaton.
Yeah, I think it's definitely
because Keaton. I think Keaton's going to have a rough time of it, but I think his arm, and they will continue tonight, but I think his arm has got to be less of a dead duck at times than it was last year because the dead duck of it all didn't make a lot of sense.
I know this is naive, but I think he was too good as a freshman not to be at least
better
than last year.
Yes.
Yeah, and I said this last year. I said this early in the offseason. He was still the best quarterback in the conference
yes.
despite having a, quote, bad season.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. His bad season was still better than most quarterbacks in the country. So, like, yes. It wasn't a bad season. It was just a weird, right. Like, why are those throws coming out that strangely, Keaton? Oh, wait, it's the fourth quarter. You're amazing again. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, if this trend keeps, then he's going to get surpassed by Jaden Daniels and DTR and all right. those guys, 100%.
The question I have for Keaton is, and this is just to end it, the question I have for Keaton is, in order for USC to be good or to achieve what they want to achieve, he has to get the Oregon monkey off his back. So that's the I'm pretty confident Keaton's a very good quarterback. I'm pretty confident that Keaton can lead USC as far as he can take them, given his supporting staff.
Are you saying that Keaton is to Oregon what MJ was to the Pistons?
Yes.
All right. We'll see if he takes it personally.
One can only hope.
I finally watched that show.
You so did. I know that's why you're making that reference. Yeah, I haven't. So.
All right, let's jump in the mailbag.
You've got mail.
Start with a Patreon message we got from Trevor. This was from so long ago. I feel so awful that we just now are getting to this. When you say that our O-line's performance in spring were due to physical beats, or are they continuing to miss their blocking assignments? If it's the latter, that feels like a huge problem, considering they're a bunch of veterans in an offense that is supposed to have a tiny amount of plays to master. Trevor from West LA.
Preach, Trevor. Preach. I think that from what I remember of spring camp, it was more physical beats. But I also, it's hard to determine if there was blocking assignment situations unless you can look back on a replay and sort of like pause and rewind and sort of see, okay, who's gonna block who given the situation on the defense, all of that. So it's hard to say if there are missed blocking assignments in practice. That's bad because practice is a controlled environment, but
yeah.
Physical beats are also bad. So it's hard to say, though, because the offensive line, at least in the spring game, was so messed up, like so topsy-turvy, shuffled around that, like, I wouldn't even... I'm throwing that performance out. So I think if you're a USC fan, just cross your fingers and pray, light a candle, and just, like, start, like, doing, you know, prayer circles that that defensive line is that good.
Let's go to an email from John in Oakland. Hello, Alicia and Michael. First, big congratulations and many decades of happiness to you two. So here's my question. What is your nightmare scenario for the 2021 USC football season? Mine is a 10-2 or 9-3 season with USC winning the Pac-12 but not making the playoffs. Helton gets a contract extension. However, several key assistants get hired away to head coaching jobs and NFL jobs like Graham Harrell, Todd Orlando, Dante Williams, and Vic Soroto. So all this sets the program back with too many new coaches coming in, and USC heads back into college football purgatory. Lastly, what do you think of AD Mike Bones hiring of Lindsey Gottlieb? It's a home run in my book, and his approach to his first major sport coaching hire at USC. Fight on, John in Oakland.
Well, thank you, John. Sorry it's taken us this long to thank you for that message on our engagement from weeks and weeks ago. We really didn't intend for that to be our last episode for a while, but as we've gone over, stuff happened. Okay, the nightmare scenario that you laid out there, John, is 1,000% correct. I think a 9-3 season where USC wins the Pac-12 and isn't in a position to fire Clay Helton, but isn't also in a position to do anything in the playoff. I think that 9-3 also includes an embarrassing loss or two, probably an embarrassing blowout to Notre Dame, and maybe like a bad loss to, I don't know, who would be a bad loss to UCLA, whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, that is yikes. The idea of like the thing that I think you really hit on there, John, that I think makes it the nightmare is that, like, A, you decide you have to give Helton the contract extension, and then B, you have to start over from scratch. So, like, all the progress that you made with, like, well, okay, we got a coaching staff, we're feeling good about it, and all this kind of reset back to zero, and then you have to go through the same 3-year process where, like, you can't fire him for dipping down in 2022. It's just yikes.
The weird thing about this scenario is that it's a nightmare scenario because of the grand context. If you go 10-2 or 9-3, win the Pac-12 and don't make the playoffs, in a bubble, I don't think that's the end of the world. Like, and if your coaches all get hired away because you proved to have a good coaching staff, that's a benefit to Clay Helton. That's a benefit to the program just based on the accomplishments that you achieved. However,
it's 2021.
You put everything in there, given how SC is, and there's kind of two scenarios you want SC to be. Real good or real bad.
Yes.
You want situations to be clear cut where Mike Bone doesn't have to think about anything in the offseason or going into the offseason towards the end of the season to make a decision on Clay Helton, because as we've discussed before, and I know people don't like to hear this, this is the season you fire or extend Clay Helton. That's just the way it is. That's how college football works. And so you need to either prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this is the situation going forward, which means winning, probably winning the Pac-12 impressively and being like 11-1 and everyone looks perfect. And
what about 10-2 and you lose the Pac-12 title game?
I can, like, the other thing I hate these scenarios about is
because the context
so
matters.
Much of it is based on, you lose the 10-2. Okay, are those in overtime? Are those games in which a key player got hurt or something?
Yeah.
Or are they blowouts? Or is it like going 10-2 in 2017 where there were blowout losses? Like, like, what is the context of those losses?
What if, okay, let's flip this on its head. What if we're talking about like an ideal nightmare scenario?
Oh, I know it, by the way. I think I have a more nightmare scenario.
The ideal bad season, quote unquote, is, I think, 7-5. Or 8. Actually, my ideal would be 8-4, and they make the move anyways. My ideal, in fact, even better than that, is be 9-3 and make the move anyways. With, you know, don't bother with an extension. 9-3 isn't good enough. Let's go hire somebody big.
I think you can get away with that at 9-3. By the way, I don't think that 9-3 or 10-2 cements Clay Helton moving forward, but I think the ultimate nightmare scenario for USC is that the Delta variant is serious and,
oh God,
and the season gets wonky with COVID. And what happens is that there's only a few amount of games, no fans again.
You sort of do like 5-1 again.
Yeah,
and
suddenly
then you extend Helton.
You have a really small season and you go 5-1 again.
You lose revenue again.
You lose revenue to where you can't pay out the buyout, but you also don't have enough to extend him. So then you have to do this weird wink and nod thing about, sorry, but you're going to have to go into 2022 without a new deal. Like, I think that's that's the awkwardness, but obviously not hoping for that. Let's go to some voicemails we got. First one from Dan in Burbank.
Michael, Alicia, oh my God, I just listened to the episode where Michael beautifully proposed. I am out here vacationing in La Jolla with my family, and I'm just walking to get a cup of coffee, and I was shocked, and my jaw dropped, and I may have squealed, and that is only to highlight how awesome this is, and how surprised I am, and how wonderful this is, and how happy I am for you guys. I had to call in because it's just awesome. And I feel like, I think a lot of Rock crew here members will agree that we feel like we are also a part of, your family. And this is fantastic. And our family is formally growing bigger. And I couldn't be happier for you guys. Congratulations to you both. Wonderful news, and fight on. And this is Dan from Burbank.
Thank you so much, Dan and Burbank.
That was nice.
That was so nice. That made me. That just made me smile. It makes me so happy. Yeah, we're very, very excited. We were thrilled, sort of filled with joy over all of the response that we got from people in voicemails and messages and Twitter and everywhere else. I think we were both laughing at the number of people we had say, like, I didn't even know you guys were together, because we had made a conscious decision to to not hide, but also to not advertise that we were in a relationship. So it was funny, the people who figured it out and the people who were totally oblivious. So thank you. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Yeah, we feel like we're sharing this with all of you guys, too.
Yeah, 100%. This is everybody played a role in this, and we're over the moon, and we hope you are, too. And we got more calls. So this is Sean in beautiful Austin, Texas.
Hey, Michael and Alicia. This is Sean from beautiful Austin, Texas. I just wanted to let you know how incredibly thrilled I was to hear the great news for you two. I'm so happy. It's been a wild ride. And, thank you for letting everybody know. It's so cool. Congratulations, and I'm really happy for you. Fight on. Can't wait to see the photos.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, Sean... Sean was part of one of the best moments ever on the podcast, I think.
Absolutely.
When we got to get him out to the Coliseum for an unforgettable.
And then hang out with him the following year in Austin.
Hang out with him in Austin. Sean is awesome. And yeah, this was definitely something that we needed to share with the Rotbots, and because you guys were part of it. So. We literally would not be here without you guys. So yeah, thank you.
100%. Here's the next one.
Hey, Mikey, you stole my girl, dude. You stole my girl under my nose, and I have to hear it from Family Pew before I heard it from you guys. I've been a loyal fan and listening for years since you started there, bud. On top of that, you steal my girl, man. You steal my girl. I can't believe it. Anyway, this is Super Pig from South Carolina wishing you a very, very happy engagement. Love you guys. Take care. Happiness. Always for you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much, Super Pig. I'm sorry. I had to. I had no other choice.
Yeah, that's a rough one for Super Pig. But thank you for all your support over the years, for sure. Michael just has no regard for some of our listeners.
None. But here's Jackson, Virginia. Hi, Michael and Alicia. Congrats on the engagement. I absolutely love the podcast and have enjoyed these years of getting to know you both and sharing in our love of USC. I am so excited for you and just so happy. Congrats again and fight on, Jackson and Virginia. Thank you, Jackson. And then we got an email from John and Azusa. Hi, Michael and Alicia. I just listened to the Proposal podcast and I want to say congrats. Here's to a life of memories and joy. Keep enjoying each other and fight on, John and Azusa.
Thank you so much, Jackson and John. And again, to just everyone who's the outpouring of support for us. It's definitely a big moment in our lives. And we're now having to deal with all of the wedding planning stuff, which is interesting. So, keep us in your thoughts and pray that we're able to handle the party planning aspects.
Wait, hold on. We have to tell the people who's the bride or groomzilla? Who is it?
It's not me. Right now,
are you saying it's me?
No, right now, the bride or groomzilla is all of the people in our lives who feel like we're excluding them from wedding planning. And I've had to explain to multiple people that, like, you're not being excluded from wedding planning. We have not done a single bit of wedding planning in a month.
We're currently in the midst of moving.
We're moving.
We're on vacation.
We're dealing with...
We were clearly not podcasting. Like, yeah. There's a million things going on in our lives right now. The wedding is taking a slight back seat, but only temporarily.
Yes, only temporarily. Now I'm getting text messages from my mom saying, like, okay, once you're moved in, like, we got to go dress shopping. And I'm like,
Yeah. Well, we got more questions. So if you're over with us on Patreon, we'll be answering those in a Patreon-only mailbag. Patreon.com/RentOfTroy, where you can get all of our bonus episodes. As always, you can call us, 213-373-1872, or email us at RentOfTroy@fansite.com. We'll be back next week. We promise. Hey, if this episode got posted, that means that we didn't have technical issues.
Hey, almost an hour and the recording is still running.
I think we're good.
I mean, maybe.
Don't want to jinx it. Maybe. Don't want to do that thing when a pitcher's doing the thing and not allowing the thing, but you don't want to
say it. Yeah, we don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the thing Jake Arrieta did a couple of times? Yeah. Anyways, or really the Cubs last month.
When they were in Los Angeles again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a bad jinx, because then they went on a long losing streak.
Yeesh.
Anyways, we'll see ya. See ya.
See ya.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.